From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
Here is the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Let's begin with the national news. Deputy of Entrepreneurships at the Ministry of Cooperatives and SME, Siti Aziza, explained in a written statement received on Thursday that the Ministry of Cooperatives and Small Medium Enterprises and LUIS Collective Market provided online training and mentoring to business sectors to help shape an entrepreneurial ecosystem based on digital technology. The deputy noted that MSMEs have played a crucial role in the National Economic Recovery Plan program. She highlighted that MSMEs make up around 99% of businesses in Indonesia and absorb 97% of Indonesia's total workforce and contribute 61% to the nation's GDP or gross domestic products. General Chairperson of Indonesian Modern Pentathlon MPI, Anthony Charles Sunario, has revealed on Thursday that the Modern Pentathlon exhibition at the Papua National Sports Week PON 20 is a preparatory event ahead of the 2022 Hangzhou Asian Games. Modern Pentathlon is a combination of five sports: swimming, fencing, riding, shooting, and running. However, the Modern Pentathlon competed at the Papua PON 20 will only comprise swimming, shooting, and running. Communication and Informatics Minister Johnny Gerald Plate on Thursday reviewed telecommunication services at the Papua National Sports Week PON 20, which has run for a week. The 5G service used by Kominfo Media Centers makes information about the event available throughout Indonesia. Furthermore, he said he expects information about the national sporting events to also reach neighboring countries. The Indonesian government is seeking to impose a carbon tax of 30 rupiah per kilogram of carbon dioxide equivalent or CO2e on emissions surpassing a designated cap from April 1, 2022, the Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati said at a press conference in Jakarta on Thursday. The tax will be imposed in stages and adjusted to carbon trading as part of the Green Economy Roadmap to minimize the impact on businesses while lowering carbon emission. Let's move on to the international news. A 6.1 magnitude earthquake jolted the Japanese capital Tokyo and surrounding areas on Thursday evening, reportedly injuring more than 20 people, but the Japan Meteorological Agency said there was no tsunami risk. Newly elected Prime Minister Fumio Kishida, who took office just 3 days before the quake, in a tweet urged residents to take action to save lives while checking the latest information. The country is regularly hit by quakes and has strict construction regulation intended to ensure buildings can withstand strong tremors. The UN Human Rights Council agreed on Thursday to appoint a special rapporteur on Afghanistan to probe alleged violations committed by the Taliban and other parties to the conflict there. UN High Commissioner Michelle Bachelet already has a mandate from the Council to monitor the situation in Afghanistan until March. Derived from a resolution brought by Pakistan on behalf of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, in August. A U.S. nuclear submarine was damaged after hitting an unidentified object while operating underwater in Asia, the U.S. Navy said on Thursday. USNI News also said the submarine was operating in the South China Sea, where the U.S. Navy has sought to challenge China's disputed territorial claims on small islands, reefs, and outcrops. The Navy said the extent of the damage is being examined and the incidents investigated. That was the news. Russia has shocked by the leaking of videos of sexual violence and torture of prisoners in the country's penitentiary. According to Russian prison inspectors, this has become a systemic culture in the Russian prison system and has happened more frequently. As reported by the AFP news agency on Thursday, the leaked video evoked memories of the deadly riots that took place in a high-security prison in the Siberian region in April 2020. After the photos and videos were circulated to the public, the Russian Investigative Committee has promised to thoroughly investigate this case. Russia's Federal Correctional Service has also fired 5 senior prison employees, including one of its directors. This is not the first time Russia's penitentiary system has come under scrutiny for violence. In July 2018, a video circulated the torture of an inmate named Yevgeny Makarov in Yaroslav prison. At that time, the Russian authorities arrested 14 perpetrators. In response to this case, chairpersons of the United Nations Commission on Torture, Jens Modvik, urged Russia to process all cases of violence in the Russian penitentiary system. The call for an investigation should also be followed by an urge to immediately reform the system in correctional institution so that this incident does not repeat anymore. It is said that the death rate of prisoners due to tortures in Russia is one of the highest in Europe. The case of the leaked video has also been known by President Vladimir Putin. Through his spokesman, Dmitry Peskov, President Putin has urged the investigation to be carried out quickly and sedately. It is necessary to be careful in dealing with such cases, especially in determining the authenticity of the material as evidence for further investigations. Those who are guilty must be punished according to the laws of the country. It is known that anyone who commits a crime of sexual violence in Russia carries a maximal sentence of 10 years in prison.
Voice of Indonesia.
We begin today's history on October 8, 1912, when the First Balkan War began. First Balkan War was a series of battles that broke out from October 8, 1912 until May 18, 1913 between the Balkan League, Serbia, Montenegro, Greece and Bulgaria, and the Ottoman Empire. This war aims to recapture Ottoman-controlled Macedonia. The war ended with the victory of Balkan League and the signing of the Treaty of London. After the war, there was a dispute about territory between the League members, which caused the Second Balkan War. Next, on October 8, 1929, when the Jakarta Kota Station was inaugurated. The Jakarta Kota Station, earlier known as Beos or Batavia Zuid, was built in 1887. It was then closed in 1926 for renovation until it was officially reopened for public use on October 8, 1929. The inauguration was held festively with the burial of a buffalo head by Dutch India's General Governor A.C.D. de Graeff, who ruled from 1926 until 1931. Last October 8 as International Observe the Moon Night. International Observe the Moon Night is an annual activity to observe the moon with or without a telescope every October 8. The night is held by astronomy clubs or institutions across the globe, including Indonesia. October 8 was chosen because the moon entered the first quarter phase on the date. This is the best phase to observe the moon's craters, according to Info Astronomy. On the same night, the planets such as Mars, Saturn, and Venus are also more visible.
Well, fellow listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
East Java Industry and Trade Agency introduced some local products to South Korea to encourage market expansions into the global market. Head of the East Java Industry and Trade Agency, Drajat Irawan, through a press release in Surabaya on Monday, said that the introduction was carried out in a business matching online. It aims to accelerate international trade transactions and increase the foreign exchange to balance East Java's trade balance. He also explained that the commodities being introduced include food and beverages, coffee, aromatherapy, essential oil, and fishery products. According to Drajat, South Korea is a potential trade partner for East Java. The trade value between East Java and South Korea had $53.81 million surplus, with $446.64 million of export value and $392.81 million of import value from January until August 2021. Furthermore, the trade to South Korea was also supported by the Indonesian-South Korea Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, IKCEPA, that was signed on December 18, 2020. With this agreement, Indonesian products can be marketed to South Korea with 0% tariff. This opportunity must be used for East Java's products to enter the South Korean market. Drajat added that one of the sectors hit worst by COVID-19 is small-medium industries or businesses. He affirmed that the local product introduction was an effort by the East Java's government to support export-oriented micro, small, and medium enterprises in penetrating and exploring the South Korean market. Drajat Irawan hopes that these activities will make a continuous trade transactions agreement, especially for small and medium industries or businesses that aim to expand their market and to enter the South Korean market.
Duduk menikmati sinaran hangat mentari sore ini, aku berdiam diri. Derasnya kehidupan, letih persahabatan, sejenak hilang pergi jauh dalam. Masih terasa ku ingat detik itu, kisah rumahku dan rumahmu, cerita yang pilu. Saat terluka terkecap mimpiku dan mimpimu, sang waktu membawa ku ke hari pertama saat. seperti
you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Indonesian Wonder is going to introduce you one of the tourism villages in Bali, namely Carang Sari Tourism Village. Located in Petang Sub District, Badung Regency, Carang Sari Tourism Village is the birthplace of one of the national heroes, I Gusti Ngurah Rai. He passed away when fighting against the Dutch colonists in the Puputan Margarana War on November 20, 1946. As the birthplace of I Gusti Ngurah Rai, there is also I Gusti Ngurah Rai's monument in this tourism village. The tourism village is located 36 kilometers from Denpasar, the provincial capital of Bali. As a tourism village, Carang Sari Tourism Village has 14 attractions for tourists, particularly millennial people who love natural tourism. The various tourism spots consist of artificial, cultural, and natural tourism. The artificial tourism in the Carang Sari Tourism Village are Bali Elephant Camp, Alam Tirta Carang Sari Rafting, Ayung River Rafting, and Triana Resort Bali. Then at the cultural tourism, there are I Gusti Ngurah Rai Monument, Carang Sari Mascot Dance, Puri Agung Carang Sari, Puseh Kangin Carang Sari Temple, Kampung Nyama Toko, and Tugek Mask Dance. The Tugek Carang Sari Mass Dance was created and popularized by Maestro I Gusti Ngurah Widya, who is now 75 years old. He has worked in many countries since 1970s. While at the natural tourism, there are Beiji Samwan Park, Carang Sari Village Cycling, Carang Sari Village Trekking, and Lekaja Bali Swing. Apart from various tourism attractions, Carang Sari Tourism Village also has tourism products consisting of educational and culinary tours. Moreover, educational tourism consists of the Pot Chocolate Tour, Tugek House Activities, Bokor Carang Sari, We Love Carang Sari Bali T-shirt, and most recently RV University. Meanwhile, on the culinary side, there are Pot Chocolate, Honey Trigona Carang Sari, Jujuli Kinian Carang Sari, and Bubuh Carang Sari. Of course, you can also buy those as your souvenirs.
Terima kasih.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Indonesia is rich in tropical fruits. One of them is called jamblang or jewet fruit. It is a type of fruit rich in benefits. Jamblang has antioxidants that protect the body cells from free radical damage. The antioxidants compounds in jamblang are obtained from the purple of the fruit. In the hands of students of the biology study program of the Bio-Nutrition and Food Innovation Specialty Program, University of Surabaya, Linus Narapradana, this jamblang fruit is transformed into an effervescent tablet. It tastes fresher because there is a mixture of soda. The original sour taste of jamblang is gone. Linus Narapradana said that the taste of jamblang is very distinctive, so not everyone can eat the fruit directly because it tastes so sour. Linus took about 3 to 4 months to produce this extraordinary work. The process started from research, the production process to organoleptic test to 40 people regarding the color, taste, smell, and sensation of soda in this fruit, which is often called Japanese plum. The manufacture of effervescence takes 3 days. Ripe jamblang is washed thoroughly by running water. Next, it is cut and soaked in 70% alcohol, then allowed to stand for 2 days at room temperatures. Jamblang extract is then processed with a spray dryer to convert the liquid extract into powder. Afterwards, the powder is mixed with baking soda, citric acid, and other ingredients to make an effervescent. Coordinator of the Bio-Nutrition and Food Innovation Specialty Program, Faculty of Biology, University of Surabaya, Johannes Sukwinadi said that the exploration of local food ingredients such as jamblang, ciplukan, dragon fruit, eggplant, and other food ingredients is expected to trigger research and other innovations that can increase the value of local plants' benefits and improve the economy of farmers who cultivate these crops.
Wujudkan janji kita. masih menantikanmu mengisi ruang di hatiku. Oh, salahkah bila ku di sini selalu menunggu, selalu berharap.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice Listener.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Listeners, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a regional song from Aceh entitled Kutidiang, to be sung by Liza Aulia. Etymologically, the word Kutidiang means to rock. However, according to stories from various sources, the putri is believed to have existed in pre-Islamic Aceh. The song has a meaning that contains a spell to summon or tame Rimuang Aulia, a tiger that is considered sacred. The song, which was released on March 4, 2019, is part of Liza Aulia's first album, Kutidiang, Aceh World Music, can also be interpreted as an invitation to the power of goodness to reside within and protect us to remain good but brave people. Here is the regional song from Aceh entitled Kutidiang, sung by Liza Aulia.
Hey, tu jala hey, hiding hala hala hiding, hiding hala hala hiding, wa jala la eha eha. Aku didinge lah ringbot, aku Aku diding ala haring bola hambot, abo dala diding hambot, abo dala diding. Aku diding ala haring bot, eh aku diding ala haring bola hambot, eh abo dala diding hambot, eh abo dala diding. Eh aku diding ala haring bot, aku diding ala haring bola hambot, eh abo dala diding hambot, abo dala diding. Aku diding ala haring bot, aku diding ala haring bola hambot, eh abo dala diding hambot, eh abo dala diding.
Voice of Indonesia.
Berawal dari tatap indah senyummu memikat, memikat hatiku yang hampa lara. Senyum membawa tawa, tawa membawa cerita, cerita kasih indah tentang kita. Terkadang ku ragu karena tak percaya, tapi ku yakin kau milikku. Kau membuatku bahagia di saat hati ini terluka. Kau membuatku tertawa di saat hati ini terbawa, terbawa oleh cintamu untukku, untuk kita. Terkadang ku ragu karena tak percaya, tapi ku yakin kau milikku. Kau membuatku bahagia di saat hati ini terluka. Terbawa oleh cintamu untukku, untuk kita.
Of Indonesia.
cinta tak bertumpu pada status. Semua orang tahu bila kita sepasang kekasih, namun status tak menjamin cinta. Kini ku tahu bila cinta tak bertumpu pada lidah. Lidah bisa berkata, namun hati tak sejalan. Kata-kata tak menjamin cinta. Oh, untuk apa? Untuk apa cinta tanpa kejujuran?
Selalu menunggu dan menantikanmu mengisi ruang di hatiku. Salahkah bila ku di sini selalu menunggu, selalu berharap. Oh, sesungguhnya ku masih menantikanmu mengisi ruang.
Di hadapanku, apa yang harus
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention. And after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.